God. Thank you, Ben. Yeah, if you get a chance, please come down. That ain't going to work. Please come down to the bake sale afterwards. The proceeds are going to go to medical supplies and food, like Ben was saying. It's a great work. They have if you get a chance, and I know you might have to go home, but come downstairs, because this children's ministry that Christy and John Camp from Resurrection Life Fellowship that are involved in, it's been doing this for how many years? Like 8 years? Four with David's kids? Okay, four is with David kids. But they are actually sponsoring over 200 kids right now. And so, they're going to have pictures if you want to sponsor a child. And more information, you can talk to Anna and Sandy. Sandy's been, this is her second time going. Anna's going for the first time. That's awesome. It just come down and just take a look of what God is doing in Uganda, right? Yeah, and we had Bishop Maka. He came here last year, 2 years ago, and he spoke. And he's the head over, I just spoke with Christy, I think it's 1,500 pastors. I think it's over 500 churches that he's responsible for. So they have a time to go down and fellowship and teach. And so it's awesome. Just, I want to encourage you to go down and just check it out. Well, this morning, good to see everybody. It's always nice to just be able to worship God before the word comes out. And it's like in the Bible, they're always talking about the worshipers going out before battle. And I really feel like, man, if you can get here on time, it is so important to spend time in worship with God. And I just encourage you, because, man, God is just doing something even in a time of worship service. And he's getting us prepared just to hear the word, but go out and be able to be ready to battle, because it is a battle. But in the battle, we know he has conquered. But we do have a fight. And this morning, I just want to just throw that out. That's not even my sermon, so that's a freebie. My title of my message this morning, we're going to maybe do it, we're going to have two series with this next week too, is Why Christmas? You ever ask yourself, like, why Christmas? Like, if you're a child, you never say why Christmas. It's like, yeah, I can't wait to Christmas. Can't wait for the gifts. You can't wait for the parties and the food and everything. And as adults, we can't wait just to fellowship with our family and friends and everything. But, you know, I was thinking about this. Why Christmas? Did Christmas need to happen? I want you to think about it. Did Christmas need to happen? You know, God's son, did he need to come? Did he need to be born? Now, can you imagine Jesus not coming to this earth, where we would be? And so I want to talk about why Christmas. And when scripture is read from 1 John 1 and 2. 1 John 1 and 2. Now, there's a lot of reasons why. I just picked out a few reasons or a few examples of why Christmas. But in 1 John, I was reading this, 1 John 1 and 2, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. You know, why did the word of life appear on earth? Why did Christmas have to happen? And the first thing I want to say to us is that the appearance of God, why did Christmas have to happen? We need the appearance of God. We need to know who this God was. We need to know who this God is. And so when we are saying, why Christmas? When we read that first two verses, and it talks about why did the word of life appear on earth, it was to have God appear to us, his appearance. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God. I love this verse. And the exact imprint of his nature. Why do we have Christmas? Why did Jesus have to come? The first thing is that his appearance had to appear here on earth. want to know who this God is. You know, we pray to this God, we talk to this God, and he's created the universe, he's created the world. We read it from Genesis 1, and then God shows up in incarnate flesh. And so the eternal God entered time. The invisible God took on humanity. The Word became flesh, and people could hear him, see him, and even touch him. That's why. Why is Christmas? Why Christmas? God wanted to show himself to you and I. He's a relatable God. He's a relational God. And we're going to learn that. One of his titles, Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Jesus was born, God became man. See, we look at, I think sometimes we separate God and then Jesus appeared. And it's like, what, you know, the one who flung the stars into space dwells among us. Can you imagine that? The one that flung the stars into space, the planets, and everything else lives in us, dwells in us. The arms of that baby, Jesus, were the arms who laid the foundation of the world. That's why we have Christmas. Verse 2 says, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." That word manifest means to expose. I want you to hear this, because when we read the word manifest, he says he manifest to us. He exposed to view, to show oneself, to become known, to be plainly recognized, thoroughly understood. So when Jesus says, when we read that word, the Father, and was made manifest to us, he exposed himself. He made himself clear. He made himself known. He made himself recognizable. See, this God that we've been taught in religion keeps us so separated from the Father. And it keeps us so separated from his love. It keeps us so separated from his blessings. It keeps us so separated. Because when I grew up, I didn't have a relationship that I have with God like I do now, because God was something that was so far off. And as you continue to study the Bible and read the Bible and understand some of the words in the Bible, it's like he manifested himself because he wanted you and I to recognize who he was. That is a relational God. That's not a God I fear. That's a God I love. That's a God that says, I want more of you. I want to know more of who you are. You mean you sent your son so that we could see who you are? See, that wasn't taught to me when I grew up. Hopefully one day you might meet God. And you better be really good before you get there, because you're going to stand before the judgment of God. Man, that was hard to live that kind of life every single day. But I really understood. It's like, wow, this is the God that says, I want you to recognize who I am. I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how much I care for you. Why Christmas? Because God had to make an appearance for us. Why did the Word of Life appear on earth? Why did Christmas have to happen? Number two, to reveal who the Father was. John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Man, he made it perfectly plain and clear. Hey, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so, why Christmas? It reveals to us the Father. I'm going to read you a story. There was a little boy. He was the child of a missionary parents. And he was attending school in the United States of America. He had not seen his parents since the preceding summer and would not see them again until the next summer. A few days before Christmas, the principal of the school said to him, "Jimmy, what would you like to have most of all at Christmas?" There was a picture on the principal's desk of the boy's missionary father. And the boy looked at the framed picture for a little while, and then after a few minutes, he said to the principal, "I want my father to step out of that frame." Now, you know where I'm going with this. I want my father to step out of the frame. One night over 2,000 years ago, God stepped out of the frame of the universe. Wow. Why Christmas? And appeared on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Wow. He stepped out of the frame of the universe just for you and I. Man. I would say I wouldn't need another gift because I got Jesus, but I guess the kids and your kids would get very upset with you. Stepped out of the frame of universe to what? To display his glory. See, Jesus' glory did not begin at his birth or his resurrection. Jesus' glory started even before that. John 17:5 says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Wow. Can you imagine that? Why Christmas? Why display your glory? Why reveal the Father? Jesus is revealing who this Father is, but he's more than just revealing who the Father is. He's revealing a relationship that he wants you and I to have with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. This isn't just about revealing the Father. It's going the next step and saying, hey, you can have the same relationship that I have with my Father. See, we have tried to, you know, make a distinction or make a difference between, okay, I'm gonna accept Jesus, but I don't think I'm ever going to get to the Father. And Jesus is saying, no, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And he wants the same relationship with you. So he reveals the Father, and he displays his glory. And Jesus displays his glory, and it's the glory of the Father. In John 2:11, it's the first miracle. In this first miracle, it says, "The first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him." There it goes. Manifested his glory. Became real. Exposed himself. Acknowledged who he was, that we could see and partake of that. Displayed his glory. Every miracle displays his glory. When Jesus did the miracles, it wasn't like, you know, I'm going to show you how to turn water into wine. And you always hear people say, man, I'm praying that I turn the faucet on and wine comes out. That probably won't happen. But every miracle, it wasn't just say, hey, I'm here. It was to say, hey, my Father sent me here. And what you see me do, the Father is doing. What I say, the Father is saying. He displays his glory. Every miracle which he performed pointed to Jesus and the glorious Son of God. He says, I'm the Son of God. The Father has sent me. Displayed his glory. And in that revealing the Father, it's God's love he also displayed. We can never comprehend God's love. When we sang that song and I had you recite that, that prayer, would you ever understand his love? That's why God always spoke to me. He goes, you're never going to understand my love, but will you receive my love? See, we try to understand his love before we receive it, and that's why we don't understand it. It's like, how can you think about a gift that you're getting that's all wrapped up? You don't know what that gift is until you unwrap it and have it. And use it, and whatever it is, or wear it, or drive it, if you really got a nice spouse. But unless you get in that car, it means nothing. We're trying to understand his love without receiving his love. And God really wants us to receive his love. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest," once again, "exposed himself among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." In this, the love of God was made open to us to recognize. God's love. Jesus, why Christmas? He's showing us the love of the Father. I mean, you could speak on that for ages, the love of God. In Romans 8:35, it talks about that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, or depth, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Why Christmas? You're going to hear that all the way home for the next 2 weeks until Christmas comes. You're going to wake up, why Christmas? Hopefully you'll say, oh, he displayed his love. Oh, he displayed his glory. Oh, there's nothing that's going to separate his love from me. No matter where you are and what you're doing. And the third thing, he takes away sin. Why Christmas? Jesus came to take away sin. 1 John 3:5 says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. I'm going to explain something about takeaway. See, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. Sin has separated us, and a great separation from God. Sin has separated you and I from God. None of us are able to bring that back on our own accord, on our own ability. We can't close that separation. Only Jesus could. Only Jesus could. We can't do it by more good works. We can't do it by more prayer. We can't do it by giving more time to the church or money. It does not close this. I give so much, and I think I'm going to be able to separate that hole that's between me and God. You know, whenever the offering plate comes around, I'm always giving. Or if someone says, can you help us in children or help us in the church? It's like, okay, I'm making the separation much closer to me and God. We live like that sometimes. None of that is going to bring the separation together. But Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. That's this season what it's all about, is that Jesus came for the bridge. He came to fill the hole. He came to cover that separation. And when we read about he takes our sins away, the meaning of that is he removes the guilt and punishment of sin by paying the price. I'm going to say that again, because he removes the guilt and punishment of sin by paying the price. Why do we have so much anxiety? Why do we have so much depression? Why do we have so much alcohol, drugs in our society? Why do we have suicide? If Jesus came, the Bible says, if Jesus came to take away our sins, to remove the guilt and the punishment of sin, then why do we have so much of that? Because we don't receive what he's done. Lord, okay, you came to take my sins away. No, yes, he did. But he came to relieve you of the guilt of what sin does. He came to relieve you of the punishment of sin. So the enemy's still out there. Sin is still running around in this world. But Jesus came and says, when you receive me and you understand that I have forgiven you of all your sins, you don't have to look back at what you've done and deal with the garbage that's in your life before you knew Christ, because you're a new creation in Jesus. So I love when he says takes away, he took away that guilt. The trouble is that the enemy is always trying to make you feel guilty. And we buy into it. You know, we get depressed, we have anxiety, we have fear, we'll turn to alcohol, we'll turn to drugs, mainly because we can't deal with some of the issues in our life that God has already dealt with all of them. See, we don't understand that, that God has dealt with them. I'm looking at all these young people. These young people are never going to get to where the old people are if they live in guilt. But this world, the enemy has shamed you in guilt. You're never going to be worthy enough. You're never going to make it. See what you did. But there's older people sitting here that have grabbed a hold of that and said, I'm still here because my Jesus took the penalty of sin. He took the punishment. He took the guilt. So we have generations here that have been able to take this word, struggle with it, and walk through life, and you are an example of the older generation to the younger generation that says, we can make it because I saw a generation that grabbed a hold of Jesus who took their sins away. Amen? Because if you don't understand this, there won't be a church. It'll be a club. Let's come and have a good time. We have great coffee. We have great songs. We got great looking people. Let's just join a club at Calvary Gospel. No, this isn't a club. This is a church that God has created. And he says, if I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail. You're here because the gates of hell cannot prevail. Hallelujah. I can't be the only one that understands this. This is a church of generational church that understand who Jesus is. Wow, that was free. Wasn't in my notes. Why do we have so much anxiety and depression? I want you to think about that. The next time the enemy tries to come after you, say, wait a minute. He died on the cross because he took my guilt. The same thing that you're trying to put upon me, you can't because I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't fully understand that he has removed our guilt. Because if we fully understand that he's forgiven us of our past, forgiven us of our present, and has forgiven us of our future, we wouldn't have that much anxiety. We wouldn't have that much depression. We wouldn't have that much fear. We wouldn't have any of that. If you understood that. Jesus' death, Jesus came into the world to journey towards the cross. Why Christmas? It's all about the cross. Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for us to be delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son, his light. That's what Jesus did. And number four, I love this one too. These are just a few. Why Christmas? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. He just didn't say, oh, I'm going to take your sins away. I'm going to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. 1 John 3:8. Yeah, okay. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Why Christmas? I want you to understand the word destroy. Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy means, doesn't mean to demolish or break. When you look it up, it means to loosen one who is bound, to set free. Well, that's a whole new picture. Because if we look at destroying means, Jesus is going to demolish this and he's going to break this up, maybe it can come back together. But when he says to loosen one who is bound or set free. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb, he said, loose him and let him go. The word loose is the same Greek word translated destroy. Jesus has loosened and set you free from sin and death. Has loosened and set you free. Why don't we live like that? We need to live like that. It's not coming back. If he loosened you and he set you free, it's like jail. If you're in jail and God gives you the keys to the jail and he sets you free, the only way you can actually go back to jail is if you go back yourself. But he sets you free. He's allowed you to go. I love how that word, Jesus came to set us free and free us from the chains of sin that can bind us and loose us from them. The chains of sin that has tried to bind you, Jesus has loosened that. He has taken the chains and he has loosened them and he has freed you. I love that. He's destroyed. See, this is why believers can walk around different from unbelievers, because even though the enemy is still attacks and we still battle, if I know I'm free, I start from victory. Think about it. Too many believers and people that are serving God, they're fighting from prison. Why are you fighting from prison? You've been loosed. Chains have been off you. He's given you a free pass. He's given you the keys. So why we have this losing battle sometimes as believers? Because I believe that you're still fighting from the prison. You're limited. You're confined. You're bound. Hey, Jesus came and said, I destroyed that. I set you free. Come on. You got to catch that, because every time you struggle, you need to go back and say, wait a minute, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, but why do I still see the devil running around? It doesn't matter, because you are free. You are free. You are free. I'm not making this up. This isn't positive thinking. I'm not clicking my heels together and saying, I hope I'm free, I hope I'm free, I hope I'm free. My faith is not based on blind faith. My faith is not based on clicking my heels together and hoping something happens. My faith is based on Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Why Christmas, church? Because he has set you free from the chains of sin and death. So I fight out of victory. I'm already victorious. Guess what, devil? I'm not in prison. I'm not bound. I'm not limited. I don't have chains. I'm not confined. And I will battle you because I'm free. You're free. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's say it. I am free. I am free. I am free. You're just quoting Scripture. You're quoting Scripture. Everything that the devil has ever done, Jesus can undo, loosen, and set us free. Everything. Come on. Everything. There's no sense me getting up here and preaching if Jesus can only do 50%. The cross was not 50%. The cross was 110%. Come on. You want to be free? Then take this word and do your warfare out of victory. Do your warfare out of freedom. Do your warfare out of being set free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on. We're going to take a minute right now. It's like, oh, I know when I come to Calvary, something's going to happen. And he's going to, oh, Lord, please don't make it embarrassing. I used to pray those prayers when I was a kid. Believe me, I had all these old Italian ladies. Man, they'd be rolling on the floor. And I said, Lord, please, when I bring my friends, I want you to show up, Lord. But don't make sister so-and-so roll on the floor. And oh, and then she danced down the aisle. I can't do it with my back. I used to. I know some people caught me dancing up here in a missions conference. And then I pay for it after. Now listen, man, I am where you are. I grew up, and I prayed. I bring my friends that were really, you know, we're all bad, but you know what I'm saying. Wasn't that we're all bad that he was badder than me, Sin doesn't have a degree. But I said, Lord, these guys are bad. And if she starts rolling, and if she starts bouncing, and then if they start speaking in tongues, oh, come on, it's going to throw this whole thing off. Come on, just get, save me like one out of the three. Don't do three out of the three. But I don't know where I was going with that. But listen, I was sometimes embarrassed. I'm in high school. Come on. High schoolers, it can be a little intimidating. Until the 70s, when that whole movement came, we're going to pray. So this is what I'm going to do. So remind me when I get done. I walked in church back in the 70s, same time when, you know, Jesus movement, and I saw all these guys there, and I say, oh my Lord, they're in my class. If you don't save them tonight, I am dead on Monday. I did. I panicked. I mean, these guys were so bad that they wouldn't hesitate to put your head in the vice in shop class. The biggest drug dealers in Herkimer. Biggest drug dealers in Herkimer. In fact, half of them came stoned to church. Biggest drug dealers, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't do drugs, so I didn't know who they were until afterwards. And guess what? Thank God they got saved. And guess what? It didn't matter. Half of them were rolling on the floor, speaking in tongues, delivering from alcohol, delivering from drugs that night. And don't you know that I went home and I praised my Jesus? Because Monday morning I was going to school. I mean, these were bad folks. And that same person, the one that got saved, I'm glad it's early, one of the guys that got saved, biggest drug dealer, he lived across the street from the church, New Life Church, that we bought that property and built, but we were at the other church when all that happened. He got saved, and he lived across the street from this cornfield, and every day he walked on that cornfield and prayed. Every day, he would get out of his house, go onto that cornfield, about 20 acres, he'd walk it and pray, walk it and pray. 25 years later, we bought that property. And we built our church that God asked us to build. 25 years later, Bob Rulowitz, he wouldn't mind me saying it, he was the one, and went to Bible school, great man, has a church, pastors a church, awesome man of God. He'd come home from Bible school, he'd walk that property. Every day he was home, he'd walk that property. 25 years later, we buy the property, build a church. The angels were treading on the ground 25 years. What happened was that cornfield was in the family for over 100 years. They would never sell the property. One day, my cousin, actually Jordan, his dad, they went to a conference in Elam, and Dennis, Jordan's dad, said, you know, Pastor Paul Johansson said, don't settle for the small box. Brother Paul Johansson was in Africa. That's where he started the Pentecostal work that's still going on today of all these churches, thousands and thousands of churches. He started it over there in Africa. And he said, don't settle for the small box. When I went to Africa, I went to the post office and said, you give me the biggest box because I'm going to get a ton of mail. And the postman said, you're not getting any mail here in Africa. He goes, I want the biggest box. And of course, if you know Brother Paul Johansson, he started NYSEM, where these guys went down to the city a couple weeks ago or last month. And I mean, the work he's done is unbelievable. So Dennis, he goes, I'm going to go drive by that. I drive by that property for I don't know how many years. I'm just going to go and talk to the neighbors and see who owns it. He drives by Monday morning. there's a for sale sign on the property. It's been in the family for over 100 years. That Monday morning, called it, come back to the board, we bought the property, we built the church, and then we start hearing all the stories. Bob Rulowitz walking the ground for I don't know how many years. 25 years later, we buy the property. 25 years later, there's a for sale sign. It's never changed hands in over 100 years. Come on, church. Don't make me cry. Don't make me get emotional. It's just going to lengthen the service. Come on. Don't let me do it. Don't let me do this. Come on. We can do this, church. I can stand here and say it because I experienced it at New Life. There was a lot of agony. Jesus usually doesn't just hand you the keys to the prison unless you're in there for a little while. But that's okay, because when he hands you the keys, it's freedom. I could go on and tell you all the negative things that happened while we're trying to build the church. We didn't stop. Contractor left us. He literally left us with the machine running, the bulldozer. Never showed up again. And some of our money. Never. And I said, we're never giving up. Why? Because God told us to do something. This wasn't man. God told us to do something. Everything that the devil has ever done, Jesus can undo and loosen. We're going to pray right now. I'm not done, but we're going to finish very quickly. I'm almost done. But we're going to stop right now, and I just want you to concentrate. I just want you to pray. I just want you to say, Lord, I just thank you. Even if you want to say it out loud, let's just hear, like in the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, there was a rumble, there was a sound. Come on, let's just take a minute and just say, Lord, I thank you for setting us free. Come on. Lord, I just thank you. Come on, church, you can do this. We have prayer warriors in this church. Man, Lord, thank you for setting us free. Lord, thank you for undoing everything the enemy has ever done. Lord, thank you for setting this church up, Lord, for great things. Lord, thank you, Father, for taking our sins away, for loosening us, Lord, for taking the chains off. Lord, I just praise you. I thank you. Come on, church. Come on. If we can't do it here, we're not going to be able to do it in heaven. Come on, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you for loosing us. Thank you for displaying your glory. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, that my past life with the New Life Church and all the things that happened, God, you displayed your presence. You displayed your glory. You displayed your love. You revealed the Father was. And I know there's people sitting in this church that you have seen it over the years for Calvary Gospel. Lord, you displayed your love. You displayed your glory. You displayed who you are. You have set the chains free. You have set this church free for many years, Lord. Great things have happened at Calvary. And we're going to continue to do the great things that you have called this church to do. Hallelujah. If you find yourself living under the power of the devil's grip, surrender your life to Jesus. How can I do this? Why am I? Did you give your life to Jesus? Did you give your life? Did you surrender your whole life to Jesus? He empowers us through the Holy Spirit to live a transformed life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why Christmas? He's preparing us for his second coming. Why Christmas? He's preparing us for his second coming. If you're still praying, you keep on praying. He's preparing us. All through the Old Testament, it tells us of Jesus' first coming. He would be born of the tribe of Judah. His mother would be a virgin. The very town where he was going to be born. All this. The Old Testament's full of it. It's full of it. Full of it. First coming. And it's also full of a second coming. The scripture says that the same Jesus will come to earth a second time. He's coming a second time, church. He's coming a second time. That's why Christmas is here, not just for the first time, but he's coming for the second time. That's what we're preparing for right now. He came the first time. That's great. But now he's coming a second time. Jesus is not coming a second time to put away sin. He is coming a second time to complete our salvation. He's going to complete it in you and I. He's going to complete it in you and I. He came the first time to atone for our sins. He's coming the second time to execute judgment on this earth. Right now, this is the day of salvation. But when he comes back a second time, he's bringing the judgment. I want to stand before him and say, God, you have set me free to do everything you called me to do, to worship you, to praise you, to give to you, to serve you. He's coming a second time. He's coming a second time. He came the first time as the author of salvation. He's coming a second time as the finisher of our faith. He's going to finish this. Why Christmas? He's going to finish this. Come on, he's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. When he came the first time, there was no room for him in the inn. When he comes the second time, the whole world is going to make room for him. You aren't going to be able to stop him. Come on. The Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to read that again. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God of the Father. Jesus is coming a second time to set up his kingdom on earth, redeem creation, to glorify his church, and to bring peace and order to this troubled world. Hallelujah! Man, that what gets me to dance before Jesus. Don't make me dance. Come on. Man, these are exciting times for Calvary Gospel Church. I talked to Bernard recently. He was with our board at a board meeting. And he says, these times that you are in at Calvary, these aren't new times. This isn't something new. It's not a season we've never seen before. I love Bernard because he's been in the past. He's seen all this stuff. And he sat at our board meeting and says, church, board, Jesus is coming by. Don't miss him. Jesus is coming by once again. And he says to the board, you need to grab hold of what he's doing. You need to grab a hold of what he's doing. He says, this isn't new. What did he say? This is renew, right? Renewed. He's doing the same thing again. But will Calvary Gospel reach out and hang on and go for the ride? Because if you don't, I am. I may be the only one swinging from the cable, but I'm going. So if you don't see me here on a Sunday morning, I grab the hold of the cable. Hopefully we all grab a hold of the cable, go for the ride. Because Bernard said, this is renewed. He's doing it once again. And he's doing it with the people that he's called here to Calvary Gospel. You are here for a purpose. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you have nothing else to do on a Sunday morning. Elevate isn't here because no one's got nothing else to do on a Saturday night. Kids Connect are not here because they got nothing to do on a Sunday morning. Nursery is not here because they got nothing to do on a Sunday. Men's ministry, women's ministry, everything that's happening in this church, bus ministry, I don't care what ministry we're doing. You're not here just because you got nothing else to do. Because if you had nothing else to do and you're just doing this to occupy time, you would have been gone by now. You would have been done. We are here for the long haul. And church, when Bernard said, it's renewed, it's happening once again, we need to reach out and grab it. Many people this Christmas will have no more room for Jesus than the innkeeper had at Bethlehem. Many people this Christmas will have no more room for Jesus, just like the innkeeper. But each of us has the power of choice. The greatest thing you can do this Christmas, if you've never done it, is to accept God's unspeakable gift in your life. He stands at the door of every heart and seeks to enter, but you must open the door. It's not enough that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He must be born in your heart. Guess what? Jesus coming to Bethlehem doesn't get you a free pass. You have to make a decision. His birth in Bethlehem was to bring us to, will he be birthed in your life? Why Christmas? Let's stand and close. Hallelujah. Anastasia, can you come up? Just play something on the keyboards or the piano, whatever you're comfortable with. We're going to close. I hope that, my hope is that this message brought you to a place that maybe you've never been before. If you're a believer and you've been believing God, and you've been believing God for a long time, for many years, still there's always a freshness that we can receive from Jesus. Doesn't mean we get more of Jesus, because we have Jesus, but there's always a revelation, there's a freshness. So if you've known Christ for a long time, and you say, Pastor, I got this. I said, okay, is he 100% of your heart? That's what I ask you. And if he isn't, 90%, you're still giving 10% to something else. So check your heart. God wants 100%. And if you've never received Christ before, never, and you said, man, I came to Calvary today, it's like, wow, I never knew Jesus until you explained it, then you need to receive him. So we're just going to close our eyes. What group are you in? If you've never received Jesus, let's do it now. Just because you've been in church all your life, that doesn't save you. So you have to make a commitment to Jesus. It says in the Bible that he's the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. Okay? So you don't get to have a free go here just because you came to Calvary for 20 years. Or 3 years, or 2 years. Hey, you didn't receive Jesus unless you received him and you committed your life to him. So Lord, we just ask, if you're here right now, if you've been here in the Calvary, this is your time. This is your time to say, God, I believe in your son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he came and he took my sins away. I believe that he died and he rose again on the third day, and that he sits at the right hand of the Father. I believe that the Bible says that once he goes, he sends the Comforter. I am now filled, when I receive Jesus and what he's done, I am filled with the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. That's what helps transform my life. That's what helps me walk out my salvation. If you say that prayer, you've received Jesus, because you need Jesus. Coming to church does not save you. There may be people here that have never, never made that commitment. I'm giving you the opportunity. Jesus is giving you the opportunity. And if you have, and you said it, you're a child of God. Now, for people that have been here a long time and say, man, I've got Jesus. I'm with you, Pastor. But sometimes I don't give him 100%. Let's just pray. God, that you would reveal yourself in a special way to all of us. Who know you, who've walked with you over the years, but maybe we've been struggling. Maybe the worries of the world have just overcome us at times. And Jesus says, hey, that's okay. I still haven't left you. I still love you. We read that scripture in Romans 8. I still love you. Guess what? because I still love you, you can make it through it. If I didn't love you, if there was no love, and if I didn't stand beside you, you would have a problem. But I'm telling you, remember the word that you fight the world out of victory. You fight out of freedom. You are set free. So people, if you've been with God for 20 years and you're struggling, 10 years, 8 years, and you're struggling, Jesus is saying, that's okay. I still love you. We're going to walk through this because of my love, not because you can do it. It's because I can do it. I've done it, and I've done it for you, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to show you that I never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to show you that you are more than a conqueror. I'm going to show you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to show you that I raise up a standard against the enemy. I'm going to show you that if I'm before you, who can be against you? I'm going to show you that you are the light. I'm going to show you. You don't need to struggle out of jail, out of being in jail. You fight out of being free. And so we're all going through something in our life. And Jesus is just saying today, catch this word, that your fight is out of the jail cell. Your sins have been taken away. Guilt, it only comes from the devil. It does not come from me. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the people that have acknowledged you, maybe for the first time. And I thank you for this church. You're doing an awesome, awesome, awesome work. This is the season, church, that we reach out, get in the car, or on the train, and go for a ride with Jesus. We will see great things. Man cannot stop us. Money cannot stop us. A building cannot stop us. People cannot stop us. Because Jesus goes before us. Just like Bob Rulowitz when he walked on that property. 25 years later, Jesus has already sent his angels on every ground that he's asked Calvary Gospel to go on. You are not going alone. Jesus would never send you alone. Why would he do that? Never would. The angels are already treading on the ground of the city of Utica. He's already treading on the ground of every neighborhood. He's already treading on the ground of the mission he's asked us to do. He's cultivating it. He's bringing up the rocks. He's tearing up the weeds. And he says, it's time. Get on the train. Go where I'm going. And you're going to see the blessings of God. That doesn't mean we're leaving any place. What we're doing is we're always searching outreach. God, what are you doing? We're just going to go and do it. Nothing can stop us if you've called us to do it. It's not something new. It's just being renewed. We're just going after what you always gave Calvary. We're just going to take everything that you already gave Calvary Gospel. Relationships, unity, love, forgiveness, hope, peace, joy, salvations, the city. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, take this word, meditate on it, think about it. Why Christmas? It's your time. It's your season. Go downstairs, fellowship, meet someone you haven't met before, buy some baked goods, look at those children.